you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and this is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. How you doing today? Listen, I have another great guest lined up, as I usually do. And this gentleman who's joining me this morning is Ron Ewart, and he is the, you are the founder of the National Association for Rural Landowners. Isn't that correct, Ron?
That is correct. January 1, 2006.
Okay. He is, as you've heard him say, he's the founder from January 1, 2006, National Association of Rural Landowners. And they, this is a group that is dedicated to fighting to protect the eroding property rights, private property rights. And, of course, this is dedicated to rural landowners, but the same thing is being replicated right in suburbia as well. But, Ron, what was happening that made you decide to form this organization in the first place? What was going on back in 2006 for
people who did not have a clue? It was back in 2004 when the King County, which is the county that has Seattle, Washington in it, was proposing a new ordinance. They called it the Critical Areas Ordinance. And we started looking at some of the provisions for it and decided that landowners should be against it. So we gave testimony before the county on numerous occasions. We got other people to give testimony. We wrote written testimony. And after about 4 months of public hearings and everything else, the county, which was a 7-6 majority in favor of Democrats, passed the ordinance in spite of over 100 amendments that were put forth by the Republicans to try and tone it down. And they passed it at 1 o'clock in the morning. And people were dead set against the thing. Well, what we found was that this kind of ordinance was going on in almost every county, and it didn't matter how rural it was. And it was a product of the environmental community out of Agenda 21, smart growth, sustainable development. But it fell disproportionately on rural landowners. And so we decided that rural landowners were disenfranchised from the process in that they have such low representation as compared to the city folk. And we decided they needed a voice. And so we created the National Association of Rural Landowners to be a voice and an advocate for not only rural landowners, but, urban rural landowners, which is the suburbia you were talking about. And they're having a little trouble here.
That's okay. Take your time. Get a drink. Go right ahead. Get a drink if you need it or whatever. That's fine. No big deal.
No, it's not my voice. It's too much Pepsi too early.
Oh, well, I know it's 9 a.m. out there by you guys.
Oh, so, if I don't have a Pepsi by 8:30, my mouth is dry. It's called an addiction.
But yeah. Well, I have to have a couple of pots of coffee a day, so that's all right.
In any event, in January of 2006, we started the National Association of Rural Landowners in order to be that voice. And we have members from all over, from every state. We put out a no trespassing sign because your first line of defense is your property line. And so we've established a very powerful, legally intimidating no trespassing sign and have sold about 3,000 of those signs to landowners all over the country. And we've also created tools that people can use for fighting their local government, state government, whatever. And those are on our website at www.narlo, that's narlo.org. And there's a lot of material on there for landowners and urban, suburban landowners as well.
Well, you know, I'm always recommending to people to go to your website to get that no trespassing sign, Ron, because I know you've mentioned it when I've had you on before. I know you've mentioned it, and people really do need to post this, and they need to learn what their rights are. I get calls from people and from all over the country, Ron, where they are manipulating zoning. Just like I'm sure this critical area ordinance did something such as that, changing zoning and code enforcement to manipulate people right out of their property.
You bet.
And, In fact, I know I was talking to somebody just a week or so ago, and I think it was in the San Francisco area, where they had told this fellow who owned a warehouse that if he didn't have a renter in that house within the next 3 months, they were going to rezone it into open space. I mean, it's amazing that we're living in America. You'd never know it by the actions that are being taken by elected and unelected bureaucrats.
Yeah, the bureaucrats.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are writing these ordinances, and they are being they are being influenced by the environmental community. And remember, most of the staff that is hired by the counties and the cities and the states come out of our liberal colleges, and they have this liberal mindset that influences all of their actions. So what happens is they draft an ordinance. It goes up to the county commissioners or the city council or whatever, and the city council has hearings on it. And the hearings are usually perfunctory because they've already made up their mind long before the hearings even start. They're going to pass this thing no matter what the hearings produce. And it's a shoo-in from day one. So what's interesting is they are getting so carried away with it that they are turning what would be normally civil violations of the code into criminal violations. And down in Los Angeles County in the rural areas, they have developed what they call a nuisance abatement team. And they have armed a SWAT teams to go out to rural properties and literally pick them up under gunpoint and either take them to jail or to court.
Yeah.
And that's a police state.
Yeah, I've had people on my show, Ron, who have been victims of this NAT, this nuisance abatement team, which is just so absolutely outrageous. Just the name in and of itself, to deem human beings are a nuisance as a cockroach would be a nuisance, or a rat would be a nuisance. It's just despicable.
It is. But the problem is that when confronted with guns, people back up. When confronted with the possibility of jail time, they capitulate. They're scared of it. Their life is relatively comfortable, and they don't want to disrupt that comfortable life. So a lot of people just roll over and let it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people are, you know what, Ron, it's come, I've come to the conclusion, people are very easily intimidated. They don't understand their rights. None of these types of things have been taught in our educational system, or just a smattering of it, if that, for so long now that people have really been, we've been indoctrinated out of our self-preservation mindset and into this groupthink mindset. And people just don't know what to do. When someone comes knocking at their door with an AK-47, these people come armed to the teeth with bulletproof vests.
That's right.
It's outrageous. Wouldn't you be intimidated? Anybody would be. They've got an AK-47 and they're pointing it at you.
What's interesting is that 100 years ago, if they tried this, there would not be AK-47s, but there would be guns pointing back at the police. And back there is history here in Washington State, in Western Washington, where a lot of politicians and bureaucrats were taken out into the woods, stripped naked, and tarred and feathered and left there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, we need to start finding some branches again, Ron. I think it's coming to that. I really do.
Well, I'm hoping that we don't have to take it there, because then the violence escalates. And see, this isn't 1776, folks, where everybody had muskets and pistols and horses, or maybe a cannon or two. We've got pistols and rifles. They've got the most powerful weapons on the earth. And now you can't fight back against that. So if we can't find a peaceful way to do this, we're going to be hung.
Yeah. I'm afraid you're right. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. I'm in Pennsylvania, Ron, and they, the Republican Party, the Republicans and the Democrats are the same people. And so they've been trying to get them. There's been a push to get them not to endorse a candidate for the primary that'll be held here in a couple of months, because they want to give, there's five or six candidates vying for this is U.S. Senate position that's will be voted on. And they didn't want them to endorse any candidates. They wanted everybody to have a shot. Well, of course, the person they've picked is someone who was a Democrat who just turned Republican, voted for Barack Obama in 2008, and you know, he just turned Republican, but he helped out the governor. So, of course, the governor went in along with other people. The game is entirely corrupt. And, of course, they voted to endorse this Democrat turned Republican for U.S. Senate. So, of course, his name will appear on the ballot.
DependableVoice.com. The total solution. One-stop shop for your business telecommunications needs. Nationwide business class telecommunications services providing voice and data, voice over internet, and hosted PBX. Dependable Voice is now offering the first month free for any voice over internet and hosted PBX services. Save up to 50% on your current phone bill and save thousands of dollars with no need to purchase PBX hardware. Hosted PBX and voice over internet services include free local and long distance calling to the U.S., Canada, and Caribbean. Email to voicemail, follow me services, multiple visual call reports, dynamic auto attendant, advanced ACD and call queue, unified voice and fax messaging, and much, much more. Plus, get your first month free with a minimum three-phone system. Call Dependable Voice today at 1-888-346-1085 or visit them online at dependablevoice.com. That's dependablevoice.com. Dependable Voice, the total solution for business telecommunications.
Flawless science believes you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life. You deserve to have toxin-free air and water and foods rich in minerals and nutrients. Factory farming, genetically modified foods, and thousands of environmental contaminants are polluting our world and stripping your right to healthy life away from you. FlawlessScience.com helps you regain these rights. FlawlessScience.com makes natural products and provides the best nutraceutical products to enhance your quality of life, your state of health, and well-being. So whether you're struggling with obesity, diabetes, hypertension, memory loss, allergies, high cholesterol, neuropathy, or to spice things up in the bedroom, FlawlessScience.com is here to help you. FlawlessScience.com ships quickly worldwide in discreet packaging and will never sell your information to anyone for any reason. For all your wellness, weight control, extreme muscle building, and nutraceutical needs, visit FlawlessScience.com today.
Hi, Maxine here, the Orion Talk Radio spokeschick, with a question. Do you have a product or service that you would like to tell the world about? Why not advertise on the Orion Talk Radio Network? We have ad packages that are very reasonable and cost-effective. We offer 30 or 60-second commercials and web banner space with links to your business website. For a rate card and more information, contact us at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. This is Max. Thanks for listening.
The Orion Talk Radio Network presents the Global Voice Events Calendar. To promote your event, rally, protest, gathering, or meetup for free, users can filter events by city, state, or province, and country, making it easy to get the word out. It's a central location that reaches thousands of visitors a week from 52 countries. You can find it in the menu on the Orion Talk Radio homepage. The Global Voice Events Calendar is provided to you free as a public service by the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, it is. It's the, yeah, it really is.
Isn't it interesting? Sorry, you're about to come up?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. Okay,
yep,
no problem.
We're back live here, everybody. Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. We didn't hear the cue music before, so we kind of got cut off in mid-sentence. Ron Ewert is my guest. He is the founder of the National Association for Rural Landowners, but they don't just help people in the rural areas of the country. NARLO, NARLO.org is his website. Tons of great information on there. And he has a no trespassing sign that I suggest you get. You can get it off NARLO.org. I will link to his website on mine under the tab entitled Podcast Today. But I really highly suggest you go there. So what I was saying when we went to break, when I didn't hear the cue music, Ron, is that so, of course, the people don't want them to endorse because then it just puts everybody else is out of the running, essentially, really. And but, of course, they strong-armed and voted to endorse this candidate. This Democrat turned Republican who had helped out the governor get elected. He's got a lot of money, millionaire. And you know, the people be damned, essentially, is what they say, Ron. They don't care what you and I have to say. The game is rigged. It's corrupt all across the board. Democrat, Republican, doesn't make any difference.
Well, look what we have to choose from for our presidential candidates. I mean, they're probably all several magnitudes better than Obama, but they sure are flawed. I can't say that I am too flawed, or I don't think that Santorum is that flawed, but he comes from a very liberal state, and he's done things conform to that liberalism in the state while he was senator. So, and Ron Paul, I can't handle Ron Paul at all.
Well, but, I mean, there's not. Out of curiosity, why don't you like Ron Paul?
Because of his isolationism and some of the things that are off the wall in terms of where he's coming from. Plus, I'm 74, he's 76.
So what?
By the time he was president, he'd be 77. By the time he was out, he's 81.
As long as his mind is still functioning, who cares?
I wholeheartedly agree. Again, I don't want to get into the
Ron let's not Paul talk politics
syndrome,
because I don't think it's a syndrome any more than I think that anybody who believes in United Nations Agenda 21 is a conspiracy theorist, since we both know that it's a fact and it is an agenda that actually exists. So,
oh no, I'm all over the Agenda 21, and we've got plenty of stuff on our website about it.
Yeah, so let's,
and I write about it as well.
I know you do. I know you do. So let's talk about some of the things that have been going on lately, Ron, that you guys have been following.
One that just came up yesterday, and I don't know what the timing, whether this occurred just because I happened to see the video on it or whether it's been in the works for some time, but a farmer from West Eastern Washington, who's probably a wheat farmer or something like that, did a video with a guy on Fox News about the Environmental Protection Agency proposing a 500-foot buffer around all major waterways. And this guy said that if they put into effect that particular ordinance or regulation, it would wipe out 51% of the farmland, producing farmland, in the state of Washington. That's a lot of farmland.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And the idea that, as a matter of fact, there have been studies actually conducted by the United States people that said a 25-foot buffer is more than enough to protect the waterways. And we keep hearing these buffers of 100, 200, 300, 500 feet, and they are not buffers to protect waterways. They are wildlife corridors that are part of the wilding of America under Agenda 21, United States biosphere or United Nations biospheres and wildlife corridors. And it's a hidden agenda to say we're protecting the water when, in fact, what they're doing is trying to convert as much American land as they can to wild land. And that was the issue with the critical areas ordinance here in King County, is they wanted to, if you want to do anything on your land, you had to reserve off 65% of it. So if you got a 20-acre tract, you're looking at 13 acres you can't do a doggone thing on. And if that isn't a taking, I don't know what. Well, it ended up in court, went to the appellate court, and we got a 3-0 decision to wipe that provision out of the critical areas ordinance. But this is the kind of stuff that's going on, and it's going on in back rooms, totally influenced by the environmental community and the United Nations to essentially wild or rewild America. And all of these corridors are going through private land. They are also going through producing farmland and ranch land. And it is an absolute travesty. And people, the urban people, the city folk, have no idea what is going on in terms of their farmland, their producing ranch land that feeds them.
No. It's such a joke when I look at these, this community supported agriculture, which means your taxpayer dollars, your tax dollars went to support this little vegetable stand in the ghetto of Philadelphia, because they claim there's deserts, food deserts around in the city. You know, it's absolutely nonsense. The economy drives businesses to open where it would be profitable for them to open. It has nothing to do with people are being denied anything. It's who's going to put their money into opening something that they can make a buck off of. If they can't make a buck off of selling salads in the ghetto, they're not going to be selling salads in the ghetto. It's as simple as that.
Free market model, and the free market model works.
Yeah, if it's left alone.
If it's left alone, right, and exactly. If it's regulated to death, people just won't do it. I started in the real estate business in, 30 years ago, and we could get a small development done probably in 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
It is now 3 or 4 years, and you can spend thousands upon thousands of dollars trying to get it approved and then lose at the end.
Yeah.
And so, and they wonder why housing costs so much.
Yeah, well, especially where you guys are out in Washington, and I know I had someone on from Oregon, Oregonians in Action, and we had talked about the urban growth boundary of Portland and how that absolutely manipulated the price of real estate. It was just it is stunning. It is stunning when you see how this plays out, but nobody knows about these things. I have to tell you honestly, Ron, nobody knows about them. They have no clue what's going on and how these things work to enslave them.
I know. I was on the radio with an environmentalist here on a local radio station, and he kept saying, well, we have to protect our rural lands. And I stopped him mid-sentence. I said, hey, wait a minute. These aren't your rural lands. These rural lands belong to actual living people, and they are supposed to be protected by the Fifth Amendment, which says you can't take anything from them without due process and without just compensation. 3 times he repeated this in our radio broadcast. And this is the mentality that comes out of the city. They're fed it. In the schools, they're fed it by the newspapers. The local newspaper in Seattle, which was a center-right newspaper, was the Seattle Times. The left newspaper was the Seattle PI. Well, I have watched the Seattle Times. The PI doesn't exist anymore. And I've watched the Seattle Times grow more liberal and more liberal and more liberal to the point they told me not to submit any more guest editorials anymore. And that's when you've got the education system and the news media feeding this highly charged environmental and green agenda, people are brainwashed by it. They think, well, we got to do this. We got to protect this. And I tell them, I said, you know, with all this protection of wetlands, 12,000 years ago, 1/3 of the Earth's surface was covered by an ice sheet over a mile thick. And there weren't no wetlands, there weren't any animals, there weren't any trees, and there might have been a bird or two, but how did the Earth survive without all those wetlands?
Well, you
and
know,
yet,
it's,
now we have I'm to sorry. Protect every wetland.
Yeah, well, it's such a joke. Somebody had, I'm on Twitter, and somebody responded to one of my tweets saying, and he's from some wetlands organization, oh, well, wetlands are sometimes dry, too. Well, then they're not very wet. Next, they're going to say the Mojave Desert is a wetland.
Well, it was 70,000 years ago.
Yeah, right? So, it's just crazy to see.
It is absurd, and yet, my own grandson, when I talked to him about global warming, he had been brainwashed in school. And I tried to show him the evidence of it. He would not have it. He would, no, my teachers are right. And this is what we're dealing with, not only in the public schools, but in our colleges. And guess who fills the ranks of government? But these
all
kids coming out of colleges.
Yeah.
And
what
did we expect?
Kids. Yeah.
So it's a tough battle because we're up against a prevailing mindset. And to try and change that mindset could take generations.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was listening or watching something. I don't know what it was, but they were talking about it. It's really true. I say to people all the time, you have to pull your kids out of these indoctrination camps called our public schools. Charter schools are not the answer because they're just another bait and switch of this Soviet structure that they are setting up here, a Soviet-style education in this nation. People are duped into thinking, well, the public school stinks. Let me send them to a charter school. And the outcome in the charter school is, in most of them, is no better than the public school, although there is the occasional one, and they may throw in a music class or an art class that didn't exist in the public school. But it's just, it removes the accountability of a school board that should be directing the educational curriculum at a local level. Of course, that's been removed with the Federal Department of Education anyway. But I tell people, pull your kids out of these schools because it begins in pre-K. They're being indoctrinated with this crap. If you look and watch Nickelodeon, the programs mothers sit their kids in front of Sesame Street, it doesn't matter what it is. They're all pushing this into these kids' heads so that they'll be happy in a sardine can eating grubs.
Well, and you take the private schools, where did the teachers for the private schools come from? They came out of the liberal colleges,
yeah,
which are teaching this stuff. And they're not afraid anymore to push a political or a politically correct agenda in their school in their classrooms. And I don't care whether it's public school or private school. And a lot of the private schools are driven by religions, and with all due respect to religions, they essentially push that particular religion in that private school. And so there's a certain amount of religious brainwashing going on in the private schools. And I'm not against religion.
But here's the deal. If you're going to a Catholic school, then that's what you should expect, and that's fine with me. But don't go to a Catholic school expecting that they're not going to talk about their religion because you just joined into a Catholic school.
Exactly. But the number of private schools with a religious base is very high. And as I said, that's a choice. That's an individual choice. But it also puts into
Hang on, Ron. I think...
Got another break?
Yep, I'm hearing the cue music this time. It's very, very faint. We're going to break. Hold that thought. We'll be back in 3 minutes. My guest is Ron Ewart from the National Association of Rural Landowners, NARLO.org. We'll be right back. All right, now I'm being told to ignore the music. Ron, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
A small correction. The name is Ewart, not
Ewart. All right. Well,
It happens every day, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah, that music that played, typically there was a break at this time, but now the network's telling me ignore that, so we're not going to a break right now.
Okay. Well, I don't want to belabor the religious point. I'm just saying that there's always some kind of indoctrination, whether it's public schools or private schools.
But I don't consider, if you're going to a Catholic school, you're going to a Catholic school because you want, number one, whatever the curriculum offers, and the expectation that you shouldn't be receiving any type of religious education in a religious-based school is ludicrous.
Well, of course it is. I mean, but that the preponderance of the private schools do have a religious base.
Well,
and so there are not a lot of secular private schools. There are some, and I have a granddaughter that's going to one of them. But in any event, that religion is kind of off the.
Yeah, that's not really what we want to talk about here today.
No, and our more concern is about what we call a massive assault on rural landowners that is aided and abetted by the news media and by the government and by the environmental community and by the schools and colleges. And it is a tremendously powerful influence that is hard for us, who are aware of the facts, to try and convince others that the road that they are on is a road to ruin.
Well, you know, it's the goal of eliminating the sovereignty of the United States and downplaying that the United States even exists is becoming more and more evident. I was looking at something on the internet, and it was talking about the snowflakes, largest snowflakes. In fact, if you go to Google, you'd be able to look it up. Well, they came to – it took you to, I think, a Wikipedia blog on snowflakes and snowfall and all this kind of stuff. And it had Europe, and it had it broken down into the countries and that stuff. And it did not have the United States – separate in there. It said North America. Didn't even say the United States, Ron. Or any of the,
More of it's, the mindset. That's
yeah,
right.
It really is. They want people to think that, well, there is no such thing as the United States anymore. Or they just refer to it as North America, and that's okay. Isn't that amazing?
Really it is amazing. But yeah. this is a world planet-wide agenda to merge the planet. And let me tell you, if the sovereign America goes down, we end up with an oligarchy running the planet. And none of us are going to like it. We will truly be slaves.
Wow.
Daniel Webster said that if we allow the Constitution to fail, though essentially the world will go into chaos. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but it is so important that we maintain not only our Constitution, but our boundaries, that we protect our boundaries, we protect our culture, we protect our language, we protect our sovereignty, and we protect our rule of law. But it is a tough job when you've got the government who is working against you in this process.
Well, that's why I think charity begins at the home, and we should be dedicating our dollars and our resources here in America, and not with 133 military bases all over the country and billions of dollars being given out in foreign aid, which only supports despots handpicked by the globalists in the first place. So
I couldn't agree more, Maggie, that the whole idea of essentially there is a culture out there that says we have to buy off everybody. And not only are we buying off our foreign enemies and friends, we're buying off Americans. We're buying them off with Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, welfare. And we've got more people with their hand out to the government for some kind of free thing, and they are not going to vote for somebody who's going to take it away from them.
No.
And how do we reverse that? That's a tough one.
Well, we gotta get people elected who believe in those kinds of things in the first place.
Well, how do you do that when the population?
The game is rigged.
It's a catch 22, and so it's an education process. Now, it'll go for a while before we end up becoming a Greece, and all of the things that everybody is getting for free, there won't be any money to pay for it, and so it'll all evaporate.
Well, there isn't any money to pay for it now, Ron. All the money, cooked up in the Federal Reserve Bank by the same handful of people that rule the world, Rothschild, Warburg, Schiff, Morgan, Mellon, those same handful of scumbags are the same handful, their descendants and their cronies who are ruling the game right now.
And have been for a long, long time.
Yeah,
The Medici, back in, whenever the Medicis were, they were a family that controlled commerce, and they were merchants. Well, they had a lot of money, so they started loaning to kings. And they found out they could make more money loaning to kings than they could in the merchant business. And they became the money changers of that time. And the Rothschilds are part of that chain of people who learned if they have money, they can loan it to governments, and they can control what the policies of the government, because they control the money. And you say follow the money. That's absolutely true. Where it goes from here, how do we wrap it up? How do we control it? There are two options. One, we control it peacefully through our laws, or we end up going to guns, and we can't win going to guns. I hope it doesn't come to that.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. It only took a 3% to prevail in the American Revolution. And if you can get the soldiers and the police to realize that the kind of environment that they're setting up is one they're going to have to live within as well. And do they want to live in a police state? If we can start to get those people who have their finger on the trigger, so to speak, to recognize that who the real enemy is, maybe we got a shot. But at this point, I don't think that they realize who the real enemy is. And they blindly follow orders.
Yeah, we haven't reached the point yet where it triggers in the population and it triggers in law enforcement that we've gone too far and it's time to back up. The police, I was on a radio show last night, and the guy, the commentator, was absolutely, an enemy of the police. He just hated them. And I said, well, you can't broad brush them all. But he was convinced that they were all corrupt. But according to him, everybody was corrupt. So it's a tough deal out there. And for one, just trying to find the facts. We get so much crap here on the internet from people who were well-meaning people passing out. I don't know how many times I've gotten an email about a coming documentary on Fox News that is going to expose Obama.
For a couple of years. Exactly. I got that myself the other day.
They keep propagating the stuff as if it was fact. And that's one of the problems with the internet is that unless you vet the information and then you pass it on, you're as guilty as the person that passed it on in the first place. Bad information, not only if you're pushing it, will discredit people like me who are writing this stuff every week. If I put something really dumb out there, it's going to discredit me as an author, and then I become impotent in trying to influence people with my words. Yeah. And so it's people have to be very careful about the information they put out, and in just trying to find the truth about a major issue such as the Federal Reserve. Where is the truth about the Federal Reserve? In how it was created and how they handle their business. And what is the truth about monetary policy? There are more there are more opinions about monetary policy as there are economists in the world. Everybody's got an opinion on the economy.
Oh, sure they do, but all you have to do is follow the money. Go back to the source. Who controls the game? Who has benefited from all these different wars? Because they controlled both sides of the game. I mean, these people make money funding Hitler. They make money funding the Allied forces. They make money all the way around. So they don't care. They have no respect for life. So let's talk about what have you guys been doing? You mentioned something that came up yesterday.
First of all, the Agenda 21 issue has really been illuminated with article after article coming out across the internet and the papers. It's hard to find anything substantial in the mainstream media about this. It's all coming across the internet. I lost a thought there. I'm going somewhere with this. But at 74, you know, the synapses don't work as well as they used to.
Now, you just told me all that Pepsi you drink was making a difference.
Well, I'm not sure what's making a difference. In any event, I had a thought, and I lost it as I was talking about Agenda 21.
That's okay. That's okay. We were talking. Go ahead. I had asked you, Ron, some different things that have come across your desk lately, and I know there's a lot more attention being drawn to Agenda 21, and of course, then they label everybody as a conspiracy theorist, and we're all wearing tinfoil hats.
This is what I was thinking about the Agenda 21. The International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, which is a United Nations organization called ICLEI, so it's for short. And it has essentially contracted with over 600 cities and counties across the country to infiltrate the Agenda 21 Smart Growth and Sustainable Development. Well, people are finally beginning to realize that their comprehensive plans for their cities and counties are being influenced by this. And so they're fighting back, and petitions and resolutions and all sorts of things are being presented to cities and county councils to say, get us the heck out of ICLEI. And they are being successful. They're dropping like flies across the country. And so once people learn about what's going on, then they know what to fight. But this is all done by stealth. It is the whole idea of Agenda 21 was introduced into American law by stealth. There was no treaty debated or ratified. H.W. Bush signed off on it. The Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. Then Clinton came along and it made it further institutionalized by creating the Council on Sustainable Development. Now, no law other than just fiat law or bureaucratic rulemaking. Then the American Planning Association adopted Agenda 21 into their planning. Then the government came along and said all the cities and counties must adopt the American Planning Association model. And so this is how they've infiltrated. Well, now people now are beginning to learn that it is there. They're beginning to learn what is what its effects are, and they're now fighting back. And so we have a group of documents that we put together that we call the SOS kit. And in it is a resolution. Actually, it's a petition to get your city or county to withdraw or to cancel their contracts with the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives and go back to American law. And so people are picking that up. That's also on our website as the SOS kit. We call it the 20 Documents to Freedom. And there's all kinds of information in their resource material that people can use for this purpose. And so those are the things that we're trying to do. And we're continuously looking for tools that people can use at the local level to fight back. But they can't fight back one at a time. They have to fight back in groups, significant groups. And we found that. Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Ron, one of the problems that people tell me all the time, and this is across the board, across the country, is it's very difficult to get anybody to actually do something. Now, a lot of the Tea Party groups, you might have 100 people show up at a meeting once a month, but only 4 out of that 100 people actually want to do something.
You got it.
The rest just want to sit on their rear end and, pat themselves on the back because they think they've contributed to saving America and they're just full of beans.
And then they go back to Dancing with the Stars.
And, exactly.
We started out when the Critical Areas Ordinance was being proposed. We actually put together small protest groups that would go around where a politician was speaking. And we would we would enter the meeting with some signs. And we did that while the issue was hot. And then as the issue began to die down, fewer and fewer people would show up for any kind of a protest. So when we first did it, the news media was all over us. Boy, they had cameras out there and everything. And then pretty soon, the news media went away. We told them one time we were going to block an entire intersection. And they never showed up. And you're absolutely right. There's one or two organizers and a whole bunch of followers that dwindle rapidly after any event. And the reason, I think, is because they see the futility in it. They don't see anything happening from it. But it's persistence and it's continuity to keep the message alive that brings about the kind of actions they want. If you go in one time to a meeting and say, hey, I'm against this, and then you disappear, well, that's one vote against and 104. So there's no effect from this kind of activity. And you're absolutely right. There's a few activists like you and I, where you're on a radio and I write an article per week and do what I can through the internet, through the website, in terms of information. But that's not enough. There's got to be millions of people that'll rise up and be unified on the principles. We're so divided as a country. even within parties and within ideologies, we're divided. And we become single-focused people. Well, it's abortion, or it's religion, or you know, who knows what it is that get people set off. I was making speeches around the state, and some guy after my speech would start off on something, and then the whole meeting would essentially erupt in this one issue without regard to any of the other issues that were presenting them and are presenting to them. And we are our own worst enemies in this case.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, Ron. Well, until people are really jammed by what's happening here, until it personally affects them, they're not going to do anything. That's the
right.
problem. People aren't starving. Enough people aren't hungry and starving yet. Enough people haven't lost their homes. Enough people haven't had the code commies coming to their house and putting liens against their property because they didn't cut their grass or they had an old jalopy they wanted to fix up one of these days when they had the money in their backyard. They don't have enough of that happening yet for them to get involved and wake up. And that's until the screws are put to them, they're not going to do anything. And unfortunately, by the time that happens, collectively enough, it's going to be a little too late, Ron, is the problem.
When we were fighting the critical areas ordinance, we went to the county and requested all of the complaints, as many of the complaints as we could in the rural area for code violation. We pulled them, and then we sent a letter or an email to each of them saying, how would you like to get involved? This represented 400 people within a certain segment of land that had been hit with a code violation. We got one contact out of 400 people
mm-hmm.
They're scared. They're afraid that it'll get worse if they raise their head above the noise level.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you've got a population that they have a certain amount of possessions, a certain lifestyle, and they don't want to disrupt it, and they want to stay below the radar and pay the bad man.
Yeah.
that's the way it is.
I know that, Ron. It's unfortunate because they don't get the fact that they don't do anything. It's guaranteed that these people will win.
If you let a bully you without fighting back, the bully owns you. I hope people understand that. Well, the bully owns us if we won't fight back.
No, that's very true. But look at, even in the classroom, that's why the kids need to be pulled out of these indoctrination camps. They're teaching kids not to fight for themselves. They're teaching them with all this bully, all this political correct social justice crap, they're teaching the kids not to stand up for themselves. Oh,
right.
Well, if somebody beat you up, you're just as guilty. Please, absolutely nonsense. Flies in the face of our DNA, which tells us to defend ourselves. It's an instinctual thing that they're trying to eradicate out of the psyche of people here in this country. Oh, don't fight back. Don't defend yourself.
Yeah, be calm. It's crazy. And, you know, I'm sitting here advocating that what we do in this battle, we do it in a legal, calm, cool, and collected manner, except that after a while, it will erupt on its own into violence. And we did a video called The Coming Civil War. And essentially it wasn't that it was coming, is we said that if the government stays on the path that it is going, a civil war or revolution will be inevitable.
Well, you've already got race wars going on right now in the cities in the country, Ron, where the black people are and Hispanics target white people. I mean, you've already got a civil war going on right now, and the races are being baited to continue this. And then when you've got a government that doesn't enforce equal justice, it picks out who's going to be the winner and the loser based on the color of your skin. They've already set this up. It's just that there hasn't been enough fuel added to the fire yet, but they're working on it.
They have divided us so badly between black and white and dumb and smart and money and not money with the class warfare stuff. We're fighting each other instead of fighting the guys that have set us up.
Exactly. That's exactly right, but it's a perfect tool for them
to
utilize. That's why we need to have somebody like Ron Paul who gets it.
Well,
isolation isn't a good thing. I think American citizens come first. The rest of the world can take care of itself. We've given enough billions and enough military help to enough countries. They can take care of themselves. I think American citizens need to come first.
Okay. I can't go there on Ron Paul because I just have an absolute mental block against him.
Well, he's the only one. You know what, Ron? He's the only one who stands up for the Constitution. All the principles you espouse here with Nerlo is what he talks about, property rights, freedom and liberty.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. It's just some of his other issues that will turn off the independents. It'll certainly turn off the Democrats.
Independents. Independents are supposed to be for freedom and liberty, aren't they?
Well, they are.
The libertarians all about that, Ron?
If you're standing up for the Constitution, you can't say that somebody
who's standing up for the Constitution is somehow far out there.
No. I wholeheartedly agree, and I would agree with about 95% of what he says. But he hasn't got the personality, and again, I didn't want to go there. A lot of people really like Ron Paul. I like Ron Paul on certain things.
Why do we care about their personality? That's Hollywood stuff. We want substance, not fluff.
I'm concerned about who can win against Obama. If we get another 4 years of Obama...
Then you bought into the rhetoric that the left's telling you to believe, Ron.
This is my own intellect that's telling me that.
Obama, I don't know. Freedom and liberty trumps communism and slavery and tyranny every time.
If you are a person who is sitting on the dole or drinking out of eating out of the pig trough, all they care about
No Republican who wants to cut anything, which they don't. They're all globalists. Newt Gingrich, look at him. He's been one of the major proponents of this UN Agenda 21 crap. He's a shill for the globalists. So is... Romney.
I wholeheartedly agree. The people that we have to choose from the remaining four, is...
the only one who hasn't been eating at the feet of the globalists has been Ron Paul. He's the only one who's been consistently for America all along. But I know I hate to do this to you, but we are going to hit the end of the show here. I can't...
Okay.
So, but you can throw in a final comment, then we're going to have to say goodbye for this show, Ron. Please, go ahead.
I just want to thank you, Maggie. I really enjoy the conversations with you, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity to do it again. And I wish all of those people out there who are literally thinking about and trying to figure out what's going on to study more, read more, and get the information, some of the information you can find on our website. So
okay.
My best to you, Maggie, and thanks again for having me on.
Thanks, Ron. Take care. Good talking with you again.
You bet.
Take care.
Really? You know what Miss Gus said she was going to do to Toto? She says she
now,
was going
to... Now, Dorothy, dear, stop imagining things. You always get yourself into a fret over nothing. Now, you just help us out today and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Place where there isn't any trouble.
Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto?
There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.
Away above the chimney tops, that's where